So why don't we, without further ado, get more comments for Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Number 3, Tennessee, hosting number 2, Vanderbilt. And Jimmy, before we go to Coach Vitello, this looks to be the greatest and highest-ranked matchup between men's teams on campus at the University of Tennessee ever.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, the Lady Vols have had 16 of such occasions, and many of those games were when the Lady Vols took on Connecticut in Knoxville, but the Lady Vols are 11-5 in those games. There have been some other matchups of top 3 with Tennessee. In fact, it's happened 5 times in football, but every one of them was either in a bowl game or on the road. And in men's basketball, number 2 Tennessee played at number 1 Memphis in 2008. Men's tennis in 1990, a match John and I actually covered. Number 2 Stanford beat number 1 Tennessee. It says in Los Angeles, it was at Indian Wells. And then in 2010, national championship with men's tennis, Tennessee lost to Southern Cal. Tennessee was 2, USC 1. It's rare, but it just goes to show how far this Tennessee baseball program has come under Tony Vitello.
And so for a preview of this weekend's action, let's hear from the head coach himself.
You guys are 2 of the 3 teams that are tied for first in the Southeastern Conference. You share the Eastern Division lead. Just give me your thoughts, if you would, on Vanderbilt, what you see as their strengths, and also self-scout the Volunteers. How do you feel your team is going into this matchup?
Well, I think our team is stronger, having survived our trip to Western Carolina. It came with a lot of different challenges, but we had a lot of different contributors, including getting Jackson Greer back in the fold, who, in my opinion, is maybe the strongest SEC number 2 catcher in the league. Kyle Booker with another great performance and a spot start sometimes off the bench for us. Sean Hundley certainly should have regained some confidence, in my opinion. I know Sunday didn't go the way he wanted, but he forged through some tough circumstances down there, and we wouldn't have won the game without him. And we were able to get a bunch of guys back out there, you know, that hadn't pitched in a while. So just overall, I think we're in a stronger, better place than we were on Tuesday. I mean, a guy like Max Ferguson is starting to just play baseball, and you see the results there. So if we can just get our whole group to just play and get everybody that's capable of being healthy, like a Rackers who pitched, you know, on Tuesday, and like Jackson Greer, then I think we can continue to improve. And, you know, again, the 1970 thing is great, but our season is so rapid in repetitions, you don't, really have time to reflect on that stuff until the season is over. So, you know, if we're playing our best ball, we can win more games than we've already won, I guess, is the general synopsis. And then as far as Vanderbilt goes, it all starts with their number 1 starter. You know, Rocker will take the mound and lead the way, and arguably a guy who's just as good, or however people stack those two guys up. I haven't got to Saturday's reports yet, but some pretty special arms that are complemented by a lot of well-rounded baseball players for their team. Guys that play good defense, can steal bases, and are fully capable with the bat.
I'm curious to get your perspective. When you see a team that's been as dominant as Vanderbilt struggle the week before you, is there a sense of, oh, these guys are human, or is it a sense of, we got to be ready, we're going to get our best shot this weekend?
I wish I was an important person and got the copy of the movie before it was even released. The end of the weekend will kind of tell you that. And we don't have any control over, you know, Georgia causing this or that. It's the nature of the league. There's interesting timing that goes on with each opponent in the 10 weeks and when you travel and when you don't. And so the bottom line is we're at home this weekend, which we feel is an advantage for us. And we're playing a team that when they're at their best, they're as good as anybody in the country. But at the same time, you know, it is a sport of baseball, and to be flawless throughout 9 innings, no matter who you are, is very, very challenging. It's been done, and can be done, but I think our guys know that anybody's capable of beating us, and anyone is capable of being beat by us. And we'll just show up and work at our workplace and hope that we get better each day, kind of like we got better on Tuesday.
Where does this stack up for you in terms of an important regular season series throughout your coaching career?
You know, that's a tough one. Now you got me reflecting. I know which ones were either really fun or really tough to take after. And that Max Scherzer, Jabba Chamberlain matchup was incredible. So there's a lot that come with hype prior to, but until the story's written, you can't really decide what you think of the book or the movie, so to speak. So I think for us, it truly is the most important one because it's the next one. Last week was the most important, but now this one is getting us closer to May where we want to play our best ball. But it is a divisional opponent. It is the biggest series of the year because it's the next one and it's the last one as far as, you know, COVID times tell. You never know when one's going to go away. So that really is the perspective I've had on it. And I kind of get the vibe from practice yesterday that it's kind of the same deal for them. If you put one of these on too much of a pedestal in our league, it'll overwhelm you. And if you put one down below that, well, it's not a divisional opponent or it's not this or their record's not as good, then you're going to get beat. And I think one thing our guys have learned in our time here is this league is very harsh. And if you get too excited about an accomplishment or an opportunity, again, it'll swallow you up. And if you take something too hard, like even just one at bat, I mean, there's pitchers in this league that can absolutely undress you. And if you take one at bat too hard on yourself or take it too close to the core of your soul, the league will beat you up and you won't be heard from again as an individual or maybe even your team.
So you hear the stat, you know, this first time since 1970 that Tennessee has won its first four SEC series. Coach, what does that mean to you and to the players when you hear something like that?
Yeah, I think it puts it in perspective what you want to do each year. And in order to have the type of success we want, which it's posted on our wall out there, as far as what you need to do is you need to win as many series as possible. And if you can win a whole bunch, you can not only do what you want to do, but maybe even greater. But we're not even to the halfway point yet. This will be kind of the halftime on Monday of our SEC schedule. So at this point, since we have won, you know, four series already, we've put ourselves in a good position where, in my opinion, you actually can simplify and just start thinking stack as many SEC wins as possible. So grab them anywhere you can with these remaining 18 games, if I have that right, and we'll be in a good position at the end of the year.
How does a team get that mentality that a series like this isn't any different from the previous one and kind of keep it all level when, I mean, to an extent, there's been a limited amount of success to this point in most of those guys' careers?
Right. Well, I think they've adopted the philosophy that everybody's a rivalry in your league. And I think every program would say that about our team when they play us, whether it's hosting us or coming here. If you have any success, you kind of start to have some stereotypes or kind of some identities or ideals in your program that are known by others. And so you know who you are, you know who the enemy is, and then you have a rival, you know, kind of a rivalry for 3 or 4 days when that team shows up or we show up to their park. And, yeah, Vanderbilt's in our division, and, you know, they're in our state too, and our guys know some of their players from either summer ball or high school baseball stuff. So just like every weekend, it'll be a big deal. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's with the understanding that in our league, everybody's your rivalry. It's just there's a little different flavor to each one of those. And it's amazing how in a short time here, I think the players like Will Heflin and Evan Russell, if you bring up a team that we're playing, they would probably say 3 or 4 things that team they know they do well and kind of what the environment will be like when we're playing that team.
Tony, what's your level of concern with the pitching staff, if you have any concern at all outside of your starters? There's some reliable arms back there that maybe haven't been as crisp of late. And I imagine Frank wasn't too happy with the performance on Tuesday night.
Yeah, well, really, this thing goes in cycles. I know it's 56 games, which is smaller than the major league sample you get. But for college kids, it's a lot of ball and it's a long year. And so there's a lot of different things that happen. You're never going to have all 9 guys firing on all cylinders in your lineup. You're never going to have everybody healthy. You're never going to have your starting rotation set the whole year through, or this guy's this role without changes. So as we go through the year, you see new changes. As a fan or a media member, you might get excited about, well, now this guy's doing this, he wasn't before, or you might be disappointed. This guy used to do this and he's not. Well, it all kind of fluctuates up and down. And the one theme that stays consistent with this group, and I can say this because it's a group that has some talent. So fortunately, our problems are, we've got just as many as anyone in our league, but they're not massive. The one main one is guys being true to who they are. And sometimes guys do well and think they need to do, even greater than that. And they start getting in their laboratory and coming up with this master plan. Or other guys overthink things and they don't do as well as they can because, you know, they're so locked up in their own thoughts that it's almost like driving their car with the emergency brake on. So if we can get everybody on our roster healthy and just being who they are, we'll have success. And I think right now you could pick offensive members or pitching members and say they're trying to be somebody they're not. As far as Western Carolina goes, it's funny, Coach Anderson and I had a long talk in this office, and he actually was really happy with how a lot of pitching things went. I don't think anyone was happy with how the game started. I think there was a sense of uncertainty for some of the guys that hadn't pitched in a while, and we wanted to see some presence. Obviously, it's tough to go out there, you know, just once a week or every now and then, or only get to face a few hitters and really settle in or be comfortable. But that's better than not pitching, is getting out there and getting an opportunity. So if you get it, you need to have some presence to you, and you need to put your fear, if there are any fears, in your back pocket. And I think early in the game, that would be the one thing that all of our coaching staff was a little disappointed in. But I think some of the things that happened over the course of the game, even a guy like Housley who got hit, he threw strikes, he threw with confidence, he had some presence. Hundley's box score wasn't what you wanted, but if you were in that park, Sean Hundley was the MVP of the day. So like anything, there was negatives and positives, but I think we're a much stronger team from the last four or five games being played by our guys.
Comments from Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello.